Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, guys.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, what's up, Key?
What's happening, man?
What's going on? Why, you shaved? You didn't shave?
What's no, this? I don't shave. Come on, man.
You don't shave?
What am I going to shave?
Your
you
face.
You don't have facial hair?
No.
Man don't have facial hair ever.
Like your facial hair doesn't grow?
Hold on, I see you with a mustache. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but that's like a little fake. That's not real. Beards and stuff like y'all, that's fake.
But you still got to shave up here then?
No, you just take the clippers and go boom, boom, zoom, zoom.
Okay, that's still shaving, though.
Yeah. Shaving. Nah, it's not shaving. Shaving is the whole.
You think it was shaving cream and you had after shaving.
I can't do that.
And you take it, go, brew.
Give me the bezel, man. I got the bezel. You know what I mean?
Right there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I got to use the
bezel.
Razor.
I don't know why I said bezel. Jeez.
On Fridays, after the show today, after the TV show today, I'll shear it down and then shave it like he is saying. The whole thing with the shaving cream, shave it all off so it's smooth.
See, I use a straight razor, though, like for the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but you got to put all that cream, and I don't have to do that.
Yep, yeah, got to do it.
Shop, I just take my edges and go zoom, zoom, and that's it.
Yeah, no. Go to the
so
shop.
You don't grow when they do the hair on your face, shop, like on your cheeks?
No.
No, why is that a problem, man?
That's wild. At all?
My big old cheeks, man, I have hair everywhere.
Have you never tried to grow your beard in?
Try to grow it in, I'd look funny. Like, just let my hair, like, just
let it grow in.
I can't. I don't get it. There's nothing here, Jay.
It ain't going to grow. He ain't got no follicles for that, man.
He ain't got no follicles for that.
All that is up
baby
in here,
face
man.
Bull,
we
know?
Use, we're,
baby
facts.
What's going on
we
with
use
that?
This up here, man. That's it. This is where it's growing up in the eyebrows and eyelashes and stuff, man. You know.
Eyebrows and the eyelashes.
Yeah, like, that's just how it
shoulders
is, man.
Like that. You a fool.
I remember.
I mean, I'm just, you know, some of us just, again, facially gifted.
I remember looking at my grandfather's ears one day, and I was like, this man has hair growing out of the inside of his ears. What the hell? And guess what, guys?
You have hair growing out of your
ears. I got to actually, what am I? What kind of an animal am I that I got to get in there and with the clippers? It's ridiculous.
But you shaved it down, though, lately.
Yeah, I shear myself like a sheep, like for the wool.
Summertime, cool? You just nasty. Yeah.
I know. I got to shear my whole body down through this time of year.
Summertime, just. Ugh.
What can I do? What can
nothing.
I? This is the way I am. What can
nothing.
I do?
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Nothing you can do.
Keep the AC at 65. Apparently, in this room.
60. Try 60.
Don't do anything because they can find your DNA through your hair, Max.
Yeah, what do you? Big deal. Go have at it. You know what I mean?
hey, speaking of it, somebody's on hold for us, man. Grab that caller.
Tanya in Houston, you're on KJM.
Tanya.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up,
how
Tanya?
You doing?
Hi, Tanya.
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted three quick things. Keyshawn, that's the most original celebrity crush I've ever heard. Tamron Hall is beautiful. And she's from Texas, which makes her even better.
Oh.
Mm. Max, your wife must really have you on lockdown if you can't come up with one celebrity crush.
I did. I already gave one.
begrudgingly.
My celebrity crush is Max Kellerman, actually,
defensive.
As it turns out.
Max
I'm a little
Kellerman.
Bit of a narcissist.
That
yes.
Is, yeah.
What about you? What about Jay? How about Jay, Tom?
I already said mine.
Jay did come up with one really quick. Lastly, if the Cowboys don't go deep into the playoffs this year, McCarthy's got to go.
Facts.
Yeah, well, I think that's about right. She that's certainly right. is saying everything everybody's already thinking. Even Jerry Jones. Jerry's already thinking, I'm going to get rid of his ass if it doesn't work out
mm-hmm.
soon.
Yeah.
I mean, McCarthy. But it's time, though. It's time. What is this, going on his fourth year? Mm-hmm. He got rid of the offensive coordinator and Kellen Moore, so it's
he
time.
Felt they were scoring too many points,
Tanya.
And he said it. He even
Tanya's
said, we're
gone.
Scoring too many points. We've got to score fewer points, and so we'll see if he can install that offense that scores fewer points.
Man, Tanya's not here anymore. I really wanted to ask her what she thought about Pat Costello's celebrity crush, Ryan Reynolds.
Mm. It's a great-looking individual.
Mm. I mean, you sent a picture of him to the text chain.
Yeah, it looks great.
To each his own.
Pat looked at me saying, look at his jawline, man.
Great jawline. Great facial hair.
To each his own.
That's like if I had a jawline like that, I wouldn't have to be dealing with.
I wouldn't be talking to you guys over here. Much.
Ryan Reynolds probably 160 pounds.
Owns a soccer team now.
Look at that. He was great in Deadpool though, so you know.
He was great. Yo, he just made a Billy. What? I mean, off his. He had some kind of investment that popped off.
Oh, good for
through
him.
His soccer team.
Good for him.
What was the key? Was it mobile?
I think it was something with mobile. Mobile app has something to do with it.
Oh, I read about that. Yeah.
Someone bought them.
Yeah. Okay, I see you, Pat. I see you going for the, Here's my bank account.
I know we could talk about Ryan Reynolds all day, I suppose.
You one of those, Pat. I got to watch out for people like you. My mom warned me about people like you.
Pat's doing – hey, Nuno, when you let Pat produce, this is what happens. It's turning into the Ryan Reynolds show and his jawline. But I think we should – we ought to talk about the Sixers.
You jealous, Max?
A little bit. Ah,
jealous.
Maybe a little bit. I gave James Harden enormous credit for winning two of these games this series. And by the way, for playing outstanding point guard in game five. Does he deserve any of the blame? What's so funny, Jay?
Key drinking from water bottles again on a Friday.
Uh-oh. Go ahead. Key, better be very careful the way you drink from that water bottle. Jerry's got the TV cameras rolling
on
you.
Man, you didn't learn your water. What do you want me to drink from? The faucet? What do you want me to put my
hand? Come on. No, don't do that. Don't do that on camera.
Come on, man.
I just want you to stay away from water bottles on camera, man.
He's doing.
Do me a favor and grow up, Jay.
Key, what he's doing is he's actually basically calling for the TV
guys to play the clip.
We know what he's doing.
You better leave me alone because I got some stuff on Jay.
What did I do?
You better leave me alone. The Sixers have got to get back going in game seven. They've got to get Embiid going late in the games.
Harden's
got to get back to Harden, and Doc's got a damn coach.
Harden won two games by himself and then contributed greatly in game five. Do you think he deserves any of the blame for last night's game where Embiid didn't touch the ball with 4 minutes left in the game again, right? And Harden's the point guard.
I don't want to call it blame, but Harden has to be aware, Jay, on making sure that Embiid touches the ball. He's got to be aware of that. Doc in him has to be aware. I can't have Doc in a post-game press conference saying that I got to look at the film when you're standing right there. You know, based on the chart, who's touched the ball, who's taking the shots. You have people sitting, assistant coaches, that's telling you, hey, man, we got to get big involved. We got to get so-and-so involved. And so going back and look at the film, that's not going to help you. The game over now.
Embiid said the following on what went wrong after the game. Jay, you tell me if any of this is Harden's fault. Listen.
We had a lot of wide-open shots. We didn't make them. We stopped moving the ball. And I don't think I touched the ball the last 4 minutes of the game. Like I said, missed a lot of good looks. I didn't touch the ball at all.
So, look, we're going to focus on Joel Embiid's offense. I get it. First off, their defense could have been better down the stretch. There is blame on Joel Embiid for not demanding the ball and reminding guys. There is blame on James Harden for not being this cerebral person on the floor to understand time and situation that my best player, the MVP of this league, has not gotten a touch. And there is also a lot of blame on the head coach. Now, look, as a point guard myself, right, as a lead guard, you've always been taught to me, little kid, hey, the guard is the extension of the head coach on the floor, right? So if James Harden is the quarterback, it is his job to understand time, situation, and possessions. But at the end of the day, sometimes as players, you get lost in the sauce of the game. The game creates a pace. You're just not thinking. You're playing. It is the job of the head coach, who is not lost in the sauce, who is not participating in the game, to be that quarterback on the sideline and say, hey, it's been a minute and a half and my best player is not
gotten a
touch.
Got to have the big picture in mind. He has perspective no one else has.
That is on Doc.
You took his PhD away earlier. You started calling him Glenn.
That's why he's there, Key, to see the game and not let the team get lost in the sauce.
Absolutely. And you're standing there, you know if your best player is taking any shots. You know that. You just do. I get it. It may be you're looking at something else from time to time, but you know if your best player hadn't touched the football, if your best player doesn't have any hits or stolen bases or advancing runners in baseball, you know if your best player in basketball isn't taking the shots. You just do. It's not that difficult to see.
But here's the thing that kind of it's a bigger question around this franchise. And I said it before earlier this year. You know, if the Celtics lose, like there's a lot of questions looming this offseason. And one question I would ask myself if I were Joel Embiid is, all right, like if Doc Rivers is no longer the coach, like what coach is going to help me learn how to prioritize myself? Because Joel Embiid needs to do that. I'm not saying that Doc hasn't done that. But at some point, like Doc needs to design plays with the personnel on the floor to put Joel Embiid in the best position down the stretch to not lose sight of him.
Doc Rivers, 76ers head coach at the post-game presser.
I don't think we trusted very well. You know, it's a make-miss league, and they were 15 for 35 from the three, and we were 8 for 34. I would say we had a lot of wide-open threes. We didn't make them. I didn't like how we played overall offensively, though. Down the stretch, you know, got to play through your big fella more. Didn't think the ball went there. So I have to watch the film. But I just didn't think we had a game of great trust tonight. You know, I thought our guys all wanted to win. They played that way. And sometimes I think that gets in your way. And I thought that happened tonight.
Yeah,
you know
why? The ball didn't go there, Jay. Timeout, right?
Exactly.
Timeout. Look, I want the ball in his hands. I want the ball in Joel's hands. Period. There's nothing to talk about.
Figure it out. Yeah.
Timeout. He recognized that Joel Embiid didn't get enough touches. Timeout. Timeout. Come here, man. Get that dude the ball. It's simple.
See, with Denver, the reason why the ball, that they would never be in that position is because the offense has ran through Jokic.
But he can initiate the offense because he can bring the ball up if he wants to.
Joel Embiid can initiate.
Yeah, but not like too. Jokic. Not like Jokic.
Not like Jokic.
I hear what you're saying, but it's a little like
I'm going to lay out. You guys go ahead.
Jokic's value, Jay, you don't think it's wrapped up partly in the fact that he runs the offense? It's not just that you run the offense.
He doesn't run the offense all the time. Jamal Murray runs
but
the offense,
but he does
too.
Sometimes. But Embiid really doesn't.
That's coaching, Max. That's strategy.
You think?
Yes, I do think. That's what I was saying to you. I do think that the offense can run through Joel Embiid a lot more. I don't think they utilize him properly. You know what? Yates, you watch every single Philadelphia 76ers game. Do you think the offense runs through Joel Embiid? And then after you answer that, do you think Joel Embiid possesses the skill set actually for the offense to be ran through Joel Embiid?
They don't run it through Embiid, and he can run the offense like Jokic does. It's not going to look as beautiful or as fluid, but like there's moments when Embiid should be able to get the rock and not have to see a wall of defenders and secondary defenders. That scheme, that's like running empty pick and rolls on one side of the floor with no one in the strong side is problematic and easily defendable. So
yeah, you could use him as a point center.
You gotta change him up. Like, yeah. Whether he's getting the ball and you start the offense at the elbow, top of the key, something like the Nuggets find different ways to start offense whenever Jokic has the ball, whether it's wing, top of the key, or the block.
And see,
you can make that happen and put Harden on you know, off ball, pick and roll, something, anything other than what the steady digested thing that they've been doing for the entire series has to change.
And Max, when normal people think initiate offense, they think bringing the ball up the court. That's not initiating the offense.
Okay, you could throw it into the post and he can find open shooters. You can have the ball at the top,
running different multiple sets, flare screens, different reads for him to make.
Sure.
It could put him in situations where he can do a drag screen on the weak side while he's posting somebody up from the top of the key. Like, you can initiate offense in different ways.
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying Embiid could do that. It's a strength of Jokic's to be a he elevates teammates with playmaking in a special kind of way. And Embiid is capable of doing some of those things, but that I wouldn't say that he can do it like Jokic.
I didn't say he can do it like Jokic. Like, nobody's saying that him and Jokic are the same. But it doesn't mean that he can't initiate the offense and the offense can't be ran
through. You guys do realize we have a clock.
We destroyed Joe Mazzulla for some of his decisions. Is it time to give him some credit?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
If we're critical of someone when we feel like it's warranted, shouldn't we also give them credit where it's due? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can, by the way, download the podcast if you want to know what happened in the first 2 hours of the show. So listen, we were all over Joe Mazzulla, right? Earlier in the series. Does he now deserve credit? Here is Joe Mazzulla, Celtics head coach, post-game presser after the Celtics force a game seven, and they did it on the road.
Tell him I love him.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty powerful statement.
So you think that impact?
I do. Yeah.
You tell him for game seven, 48.
Multiple times. Over and over again. And the rest of the team.
He was talking about Tatum when he said, tell him I love him. That's why later on he said, you know, and the rest of the team. And Tatum woke up late in the fourth quarter. He was having an all-time bad closeout, elimination game, facing elimination on the road. He was at one point, 1 of 14 from the field? And then he couldn't miss.
He wasn't
in the
good.
Game.
What's he wasn't that key? Good. He wasn't good.
He was awful, and then he was great. Here's Tatum after the game with Cassidy Hubbard.
I'm one of the best basketball players in the world. You know, go through struggles, go through slumps. It's a long game. And, you know, thankful I got some great teammates that held it down. Brogdon, JB, Smart, Al. And they all trust me, right? They tell me keep taking great looks. It's going to fall. Keep impacting the game in other ways. And all that mattered was we won this game. Right, give ourselves another chance, come back home, you know, for game seven.
Jay, does Mazzulla deserve credit?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first thing I said off the top. First off, they started Robert Williams alongside Al Horford. Robert Williams plus minus for the year is special, even though he's been limited time. That's always been a question around Joe Mazzulla, why he has limited time. Obviously, they've had some injuries. But, look, number one, it really helps because he was able to play off of P.J. Tucker, which allows him to hawk the paint, which makes life difficult for Joel Embiid. And we were just talking about that during the break. Whenever Joel Embiid would turn and face and see Al Horford, he would also see Robert Williams behind Al Horford, lurking from the weak side, standing in the paint. And when there's no weak side action or movement, everything becomes stagnant. So all eyes are on Joel Embiid. It makes it easier for him to be guarded. Also, defensively for Boston, that can apply way more pressure when you have rim protection. Like when you have Al Horford, they're dragging. It's similar to AD with the Lakers. LeBron tries to provide that with his sides, but the more you have people around the rim, like, it makes it more difficult, right? So when AD is out on the perimeter, all of a sudden it allows Golden State to get to the rim. It's the same thing with the Boston Celtics. So, you know, when they're applying pressure, when you have Robert Williams who's playing off P.J. Tucker now, you want to go shoot that rock, go ahead. It just allows you to pressure with him behind you protecting the rim. So I thought it was finally, one of the good adjustments of this series, and it makes Boston better defensively, way better defensively. Do you know last year, per 100 possessions, man, Boston per 100 possessions last year, they gave up
100 points this year. I'm sorry, 100 points this year per 100 possessions. Last year, they gave up 88 points per 100 possessions.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, like, they're a different team defensively this year than what they were last year.
Point, not even 0.9 points per possession. Yeah, well under a point per possession on defense. Big difference. Greco and Queens has something to tell you, Jay. Greco.
Good morning, my guys.
What's up, baby?
Hey, man, Jay, look, follow me back on Instagram, TheRealAnciengreco. That's TheRealAnciengreco. I need that jacket. We got to figure out a way to get me that jacket. I need it in my life.
Okay.
All right. And Key, this is for Key. Key, don't be worried. You know, don't be nervous. Like, you know, we're going to be playing tonight. And if you want, you could get me a plane ticket. They fly me out for a 10-day. You know what I'm saying? We could definitely pull this one if I lock stuff up. And then Max. Daniel Jones, I don't think it's, you know, this year is going to be that good for him because the Jets going to be, you know, we're going to have a better record, better quarterback, and we're going to control the back page of the Daily News and the Post. Oh, and oh, Jay, one more thing. I think I peed Draymond Green off when I hit him with the only 15 points because he came with the Johnny. He swept the leg, Cobra Kai, you know, Karate Kid type style on me for game six. So,
yeah, he said a lot there.
Game five, my bad.
Said a lot there.
I had to get it in. I know, you know, yeah. I had to get it in.
No, get it in.
I know the time clock.
He said the jacket was fresh. He asked Key for a ticket in a 10-day.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
He claimed that the Jets will control the tabloids. I agree with that. They will. I'm not sure they'll win more games than the Giants, but they'll control the tabloids.
I can't get him a ticket. It's not 2 weeks in advance. That's high.
Price too high if it's not done 2 weeks in advance.
Jets fans are flying high right now. Ooh, they're feeling good.
I could get him on what they call the thing that my homeboy uses.
Standby?
No, not standby. Skip lag.
What's that?
Man, Jay, what? Don't ask me. It's something
Key,
about.
Key pretends to be like not savvy technologically, but when it comes to flying, he's got all kinds of apps
Skip lag is it's an app
that you can. Smart ways to find cheap flights.
Yeah, you can skip lag it, but you book a flight going to one place and you get off at that destination.
Yeah, because in other words,
you never make it to the final destination
because
they're going to stop in the city.
Sometimes it's more expensive to fly directly to a city than it is to do a layover and then go to another city. So you buy the ticket to the second city, but you get off at the first.
Homeboys, though, Jay. Yeah,
anything you want to know about aviation.
Homies, I need that in my life.
Anything you want to know about aviation, Keyshawn Johnson will tell you. Any app you need to know, trick of the trade, what model.
Man, trying to save money around here, Max.
Airline. What's that?
Trying to save money around here.
Oh, Key knows every trick of aviation. It's unbelievable. All right.
Notes.
What should we expect from the Warriors tonight, KJM?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by Turner sports analyst and point guard of one of the greatest college teams of all time and former New York Knick, etc. Greg Anthony, ladies and gentlemen of Turner Sports. What's going on, Greg?
I'm doing great, guys.
Oh, wait a minute. You just muted us.
Can you hear me?
Now we got you. Now we got you.
Man, just let that LL rock for a little while, man. That's hot.
Rock the bells. Remember when this dropped?
Yeah.
What do you think of that performance late in the game by the Sixers, Greg?
It was poor. It's poor. Not having the awareness to get your best player going. And sometimes the game can get away from you and Jay can attest to that. Even in football, it happens. Like, everybody's kind of discombobulated. And that's when, as a coach, maybe we need a timeout to hit the reset button. And I think that's it's unfortunate. But listen, anytime your best player, the MVP of the league, doesn't touch the ball the last 4 minutes in a game where you got a chance to close out the Boston Celtics, there are going to be a lot of questions that have to be asked. And then you got to figure out whether or not your group can respond, because that is it's got to be a disappointing way to lose a game. That was a game they were in control of. They were doing a great job defensively and still did. Listen, it's not like Philly went out, and I should say Boston went out and scored 120 points. They had 95 points in that game. So defensively, Philly did enough to win the game, but their end-of-game execution, the last 4 minutes, that's just unacceptable.
Gee, how does that happen, though? You've had the ball in your hands where you've had to facilitate an offense and get people involved. How does it happen when you know that's the best player we got on the floor?
Yeah, listen, unfortunately, it happens more often than you might think. There's no doubt about it. It shouldn't happen. And it shouldn't happen when you've got a guy in Joel Embiid who is such a force. But I just think the game started to unravel. I think what happens a lot of time is pressure starts to make you do things and speed you up and not see the game for what it is. And I think that's part of the issue for Philly. They got real stagnant. They look like they've looked in big moments since Joel's been there. Let's face it. Like, they've had a lot of games where they've imploded down the stretch, and they just look in disarray, you know, not having a feel or an understanding of where the ball should be and when. And listen, you got one of the greatest players of all time in James Harden at the helm as a point guard. He's got to make better decisions as well. I mean, that I'm not looking at field goal percentages and who's hot and who's not. In those situations, it's about time and score. It's about understanding the moment, what's at stake. You have an opportunity to have a closeout game on your home court, and then you just basically melt down the stretch. That's one that can be really difficult to get over mentally. But it's over if you're Philly, and now you got to regroup and figure out a way to go to Boston and win a game.
You know, in football, right, Greg, as you know, I'm a receiver. I got to touch the football. I'm only as good as many catches as I get. I can't help you being a cardboard cutout. It's the responsibility of my offensive coordinator, along with my quarterback, to know, hey, man, I don't have any touches. We're struggling in the passing game. I'm not touching the ball. Shouldn't Doc Rivers, standing on the side, know with 4 minutes to go, our best player is not getting it done, timeout, call Harden over there and Joel and say, hey, two-on-two game right now with y'all two. Let's just figure that out.
Yeah, and Key, that's a great point. And it's not just, and you know this, I'll give you another football analogy. It isn't always the head coach, right? Sometimes your assistants can come and say, because that happens in basketball. As a head coach, man, you are so engulfed in that moment. Sometimes the assistants, they all have specific jobs. They got to come over and say, Doc, Joel ain't touched the ball in the last minute. He hadn't touched it in the last 2 minutes. We got to get something, because it's not a matter of whether he shoots it. It's more a matter of his presence by having it in his hands forces Boston's hand defensively. It puts them in where they got to be ready to rotate or double. And they didn't do that. And so it's one of those games that they'll remember this for the rest of their careers. And so it's unfortunate. But that was really just poor execution across the board down the line.
Greg Anthony, Turner Sports Analyst, former NBA player, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and, of course, Max. So now the game switches back to Boston for Game 7. Who takes Game 7?
No idea, Key. I think it's wide open. You know, I don't know many people thought Philly was going to go win Game 5, and a lot of people were doubting as to whether or not Boston could win Game 6, especially when your best player starts off 1-for-15. And I do want to say one thing. We need to give Jason Tatum some flowers. And I say this because he was woeful in terms of shooting, but he was making winning plays, and he stayed in the moment. And, you know, I will remind people, people were killing him, and they talk about these great players. Go look at some of the worst shooting performances ever. I remember doing a game with Allen Iverson. They were in Philly. They were playing the Pistons. And this is the year I think they made it to the finals. He was 4-25 at one point in that game, and yet he hit the game winner. And the average player would have never missed 21 shots. They would have found a way to hide from the ball. But Jason Tatum kept battling, kept fighting. Block shots, steals. He was rebounding, assists. You know, he continued to focus on time and score and stay in the moment and not feel sorry for himself. And when his team needed him most, he was able to come through. That's championship stuff, man. That's what it takes, because the postseason is hard. I remember Kobe game 7 against the Celtics when they finally beat him. I think he was 6 of 24 in that game, but he had 18 rebounds. Like, and that's what great players can do. You're not going to shoot well all the time. Those other teams you're playing against, they get checks on the first and 15 too. They're out there battling. They're worthy of winning that series as well. So I think it's a pick 'em game. I think there's going to be some momentum, obviously, that carries over for Boston. But this is, to me, where Doc, as a coach and his staff, their money will be earned over the next 24 hours. Not when the game starts, but how do you get the mindset of your team ready to go to battle in a seventh game? That's what's going to be most telling about how they approach that seventh game.
Greg Anthony here with us, KJM. Greg, see, to me, when I hear you say those things, to me, what it sounds like is, and I could use a boxing analogy, right? When Muhammad Ali was in his prime, he was the goodest heavyweight who ever lived. But then when he was a little past it after exile, and then he's fighting Frazier and Foreman and all these guys, you found out he was also the greatest heavyweight who ever lived, right? When you talk about James Harden being, you know, an all-time great, to me, James Harden, we already know how good he is, right? He's one of the goodest players of all time. But to me, what you're asking to be is one of the greatest players, too. Yeah. What you're really talking about in a big sense to me is greatness. Do you think I would hate to think Harden ends his career, not that it's about to end, but not having shown that. Do you think it's in him to show that in a game 7 on the road?
Well, I think it is. I don't think there's any question. And I think it is in part because of who he's going to be on the floor with. In a guy like Joel Embiid. And I will remind you, like, to be one of the greats ever, you have to have the opportunities, right? Being one of the greats ever is always going to revolve around what you do in the postseason. Nobody talks about Dirk Nowitzki and all the postseason failures he had anymore, do they?
Because he got the
one. You know
why?
Because he went and got that championship. And so this is that opportunity for James Harden. He's going to have an opportunity, as will Joel Embiid, to erase that narrative. And you only get the opportunity when you're in these situations. And a lot of great players fail in these situations. They don't come up. And sometimes it's because of their performance, and other times it's because of what the other team does. And so all you can ask for is the opportunity. I think Philly will be a very confident team because they still have a lot to take away from that game. Like, defensively, they were really good. They did a lot of good things in that game. They just were really, really horrible from an offensive standpoint. And it's not that they didn't shoot it well. It's that they didn't create a lot of great opportunities for the right guys. PJ Tucker shouldn't be taking a lot of shots in the fourth quarter in a game you're trying to come back in. It shouldn't be in his hands in those situations. And so that's where, from an execution standpoint, if you're Philly, you got to make sure the ball's in the hands of the guys that decide our fate. And it shouldn't be in other guys' hands. And that's what we'll see how that plays out tomorrow night.
And Tobias Harris, 42 minutes. You got to have more than 2 points, man. Got to have more than 2 points. Yeah. Greg Anthony, ladies and gentlemen, Turner Sports Analyst, former NBA player, of course, and point guard on maybe my favorite college basketball team I ever watched, man. I ran around with the hat and everything in New York. That's how it was.
Hey, that reminds me, Greg, how much money will you have made at UNLV in this day and age?
Oh, man.
More than he made then, that's for sure.
But well, I don't know, man. I mean, present day cost of dollars. I was doing all right. I have a t-shirt company.
I have a
real estate license. Remember, I was a walk-on my senior year.
Yeah.
I paid my own way to college because I was working. So, I would have liked to think, though, I would have done well.
Those running rebels, man. We were rocking those hats in New York. Everybody. I'm talking about, you saw them everywhere. Greg Anthony, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we're presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. So the Suns get eliminated. What's next for them? DeAndre Ayton did not play. Monty Williams, Suns head coach, at the postgame presser on being eliminated in blowouts 2 years in a row.
Can't gauge that. I'm not quite sure if I can compare. They both are they bring bad feelings about the game and what you're trying to accomplish. Neither day feels good.
So what's next for the Suns? Jay, you know, going into these playoffs, I said, look, best player in the game when he's healthy. The reason it's Giannis or Steph or whoever is because KD's not healthy enough. But when he's healthy, to me, man, it's not close. It's KD, right? And he had won something like 27 of his last 30 games he played in, combined, like when you combine Brooklyn and Phoenix, with amongst turmoil and in the middle, you know, joining a new team and off injury and everything. It didn't matter. He just wins almost every game. But Jay, as incredible as KD is, what you notice about Steph or Jokic is they seem to make the players around them better. And Jay, he was looking for Booker. You know, KD tries to make the right basketball play, but seemed, at least in this series, unable to elevate his team.
I don't know how to respond to that because I feel like he averaged 30, 29.5, ten rebounds. I mean, he shot from the three-point line. I mean, he didn't shoot great. I mean, I guess when you shoot 22%, you know, but 45% from the field. I don't know, man. Like, I hear you on the passing. Like, Kevin Durant is a different type of player than a Steph Curry to me because Steph can get other people involved. KD, I think, is a willing passer.
I agree. Very good passer.
But I also I go to all the names around him, though, which – like, who are you trying to make better, Max? Like, so, you know, how better can Landry Shamet be? How better can Torrey Craig be? Jock Landale, TJ Warren, Terrence Ross, Cam Payne. Like,
Cam Payne and TJ Warren have had parts in their careers where it's like, oh, look at that.
But enough to
even Shamet.
Denver, like, I think almost no. Like, for when people start going at KD today, I take that as, oh, you're sliding Denver. Because I don't think people recognize how good Denver actually is, and what kind of punch you will need to beat Denver.
Agreed. They did not have they're not deep. They're top heavy and not deep, right? And then next year and the year after, they'll start to try to increase the depth. But Jay,
the two games they won, Max, Devin Booker averaged 41 on 80% shooting.
Ridiculous.
And KD still averaged 30.
But if you don't have the pieces necessary to elevate as a guy who's setting other guys up, which KD is capable of doing, then impose yourself on the drop 51 to 40, you know, get that win. I didn't see him do that either. And there's something like, you know, we had Dr. Andre Snelling's on this show a couple times in the last, you know, several months, where he was talking about the metrics that look at how the team performs with KD on the court. He's very much, he's incredibly great because of what he can do, but it doesn't show up in the real box plus minus whatever in terms of making the whole team better as, say, LeBron does, or a guy like Jokic or Steph. Right? So if you're not going to have, if that's not the, just the kind of player you are, but you're an incredible scorer, so have at least one game where that scoring wins the game, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
of course he's going to score. He's incredible.
I think it gets glossed over because D-Book was so prolific. I mean, he had 39 in game four.
It's true.
He had 39. He had 36 in game three.
You know, he and Book both had 36
you
in game three.
You know what I mean? It's so,
and I remember thinking, KD's was quiet. Book's was loud somehow.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, we're like, he should have done, like, he had 39 and 36. And last night, I hear you, 29 doesn't get it done. But it's like, damn. Like, since KD doesn't go for 50 or Devin Book doesn't go for 50, like, oh, this season is a bust. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, that's a little crazy.
You don't think getting blown out on your home floor when you're not as good or deep as the other team, but you are top heavy, you want to see one performance like, damn, man, there's nothing you could do with KD. He's too much. He got them that game. I didn't see a single game like that from him in this series.
One can't beat five, man. And two can't beat five. It's hard as hell, as Jay said. And that, with that being said, Jay, do you think, and you know Kevin, I don't know Kevin, nor do I claim to know Kevin. I don't know his personality, nor do I claim to know his personality. I know people think that they do. They say things about him all the time, and they have no idea. They never met the man. I have never met the man, other than one time. Do you think he regrets, though, leaving Golden State, so to speak? When you look back at it.
Look, I mean, what they could have built at Golden State could have been – the best thing the game of basketball has ever seen. It would have been better than what Jordan and those guys built in Chicago. Like, because Steph, Clay, and KD together, nobody's stopping that ever. I think maybe I can't speak for Kevin Durant. Obviously, he's already course corrected me on that, and I made one mistake one time, so not going
to
do that.
No, I'm not asking you.
No, it's cool. I'm always going to keep it real, keep it a buck, and KD and I have talked about it. But it's one of those things, though, like me personally looking back, I think it's about allowing other people and what other people say to influence how you see yourself and you need to do for yourself. You know what I mean, Key?
100%.
So, like, I think it was when he went there, it was the weakest move ever, right? And so.
But I can't let nobody influence. So what? I'm here now.
Yeah, and then it turned into, like, well, whose team is it? It was like, you know what I mean? Steph Even though it didn't matter because they were winning at a high clip. And then it turned into like, do I need to have my own team? Because that's where, you know, like people like Max, like, oh, I'll get the respect when I do it on my own. But realistically, nobody ever does it on their own.
When
you build something yourself. When I get two hands full of rings, Jay, when I got two hands full of rings, you ain't got to do nothing. But you, the only thing, you're going to be forced to respect me.
Yeah.
Regardless.
I just see it very differently. I think that he did great with Golden State. Just because you're set up doesn't mean you got to knock it down like KD did. He absolutely did that. But there is a difference between being in a no-lose situation and performing well. When you got numbers behind you, you can't lose on that Golden State team.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, though. I'm trying to get the numbers behind me so I can't lose.
We're going to keep talking about this when we come back to the top of the show.
Damn, Max, I'm trying to work with the best. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.